Well, good evening, boys and girls. Okay, very good. I trust you had a good day today and are excited about what we can learn from God this evening. I have a verse here that I'm going to give, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You ever heard that verse before? Yeah? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Can we say it together? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so, for us as adults, that's very important because our faith in Jesus Christ is the strength to live a Christian life, a life for God. And Jesus can help us. Christ can help us through the things that we need to do. I have just a little bit of a something here. See this piece of paper? Do you think it's very strong? Maybe, maybe not. Well, I'm going to set these two books up. You see this? You think a paper like this can hold this? No? You don't think so? You think a paper could hold my pen? If I put across the books, which way should I put it? Should I put it this way or should I put it this way? Make it easier this way. Then hold it. Do you think it can? I believe it can hold. I believe I can hold this. When you're giving a task to do, and you work at it, and your muscles get sore. You ever have anything that jobs that you needed to do, and your muscles got sore? Well, your muscles getting sore is what gives them strength. Next time you go to do the same task, you probably don't get as sore. And each time you keep doing something, that builds your muscles and builds your strength. And as we are given jobs, just like our muscles are hard, you have to work and it gets sore. Or your mind has to think, and you go to school and say the 12 times tables, it's not possible. I can't memorize them. But you memorize the 1 times tables, the 2 times tables, and each time it's work and it's hard, and you feel it, but it puts a crease in the piece of paper. And so as we go through our outer lives, and we have difficult things, that puts a crease, or maybe hard. It's something that's a trial. It can put a mark in our lives, and it can give us strength. And so this piece of paper was one just like this, okay? When I was in at school the other morning for chapel, I forgot to bring paper along. And I asked for 2 pieces of paper. Now, this is cardstock, so it's just a little stiffer than some other paper. But as it was folded, okay, it gives some strength. Now, let's put this across here. Do you think that'll hold the cup? You don't think so. A flimsy piece of paper. That when I put it across, didn't hold the pen. Can now hold the mug. And so the same thing with when we're given hard tasks to do, we put ourselves to it and we get that one done. Next time maybe we're given a bigger task to do, it gives them, builds strength in our lives. The same thing with our faith. As the trying of our faith, it builds strength in us. And so what was our verse? Anybody remember what it was? What it is? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so this here is an example of the strength that Christ can build within our lives. Yeah, you would never think that a flimsy piece of paper would be able to hold a mug. So that is the lesson for this evening. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How about if we sing the song, My God is So Big? I think I know how it goes, so everybody can help. My God is
so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His, the rivers are His, the skies are His handiwork too.
Greetings in Jesus' precious name. And you know, it's the trying of our faith that builds faith. But the trying of our faith is difficult. And we don't always like those difficult situations. Before I get into the message this evening, I had mentioned, I believe, the first night that about my oldest son and about three sons that are still adult sons that still are at home. My wife and I were blessed with six sons, and two of them, he decided he wanted them back. And so in 2007, a little over 14 years in October, driving home from school, the two sons were together, and the driver had an accident, went into a yaw and broadside into a pole, and their lives were taken. And so our lives changed because they were no longer with us. We no longer were responsible for them. Darren, being the driver, was 16, all but 17, and Devon, the passenger, was 13, going on 14. I've entitled the message this evening, Biblical Principles for Dealing with Grief. You can turn with me to Job chapter 2. We look at the life of Job and we see that he had many difficulties here in the first two chapters of Job. And as we come to the end of the chapter, there were three of what they call friends that wanted to come to see Job to comfort him. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And they agreed together to come, the end of verse 11, and made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off, they knew him not. They lifted up their voice and wept and rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. I can't imagine the grief that Job went through, losing all that he had and all of his children. But as we think of grief, we consider grief as being an emotion. It's the moving of the mind and the soul. It's our feelings. Emotions are not necessarily reality, but they are how we feel about what is really going on around us. Okay? Our emotions may not be reality, but they are how we feel about what is really going around us. Emotions have somewhat of a tendency of a natural response, though they are tailored to each individually. And your emotions are going to be expressed a little different than mine, just because of the experiences that we have gone through, the things that we know, and the lives that we live. A part of being a human is to respond emotionally to what is going on around us. This makes life meaningful and full of color and real to our senses. And so, if you have ever experienced grief, it is not an enjoyable emotion. But if we wouldn't experience grief, I don't think we would either experience the emotions of joy and those exciting things and those things that make life colorful and meaningful to us. It seems that grief as an emotion has many feelings, and many other emotions play in along with the emotion of grief. Stephanie Erickson said, "Black is the only color that contains all the colors of the spectrum. So it is with this place of grief. It contains the spectrum of emotions." And there's a lot, I believe, to that. As we consider that of grief, grief comes from a loss. The emotion of grief comes from a loss. And it is not only in the loss of a loved one, but there are other losses that we experience that bring the emotion of grief. It could be a wayward child, somebody who has walked away from the faith. It can be a loss of health or maybe a terminal illness. And that can bring the emotion of grief as well. And so there is a lot of aspects and different experiences in grief. And it is not just that of the loss of a loved one. Our experience has been that of losing two sons, Darren and Devon. I don't know what your experience is, but there is a path forward that God would have us to take through this time of grief. My wife and I were privileged to sit under the sound of I didn't write his name down in this particular piece of paper, but he had talked about these six principles for dealing with grief, and we found them very helpful. We found them that they were things that we dealt with in our experience of grief, and so
The thought of the message is to present this to you, because you never know what a day may behold. You may not be experiencing grief now, but when the time comes, there are ways to go work through it. The first one is that to release grief. Do not fear or try to avoid the expression of grief. When you have a loss, you need to, and you have those feelings of grief, that grief needs to be expressed. You cannot keep it bottled up. Many of us come from the German descent, and that stoic German where you just move forward with life just as it comes. When we do that, we also lose, I believe, some of the emotion of joy and excitement when we stifle that emotion of grief. Matthew 5:4, one of the Beatitudes, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." John 11:35, as Jesus approaches Lazarus' tomb, it says that Jesus wept. Romans 12:15 says, "Weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that rejoice." I might have got that in backwards, but and you know, that late afternoon, actually, my wife and I ended up at the scene of the accident, and the authorities there were very troubled about that. How did we know? How did we get here? How did we know? Well, a mother's instinct and the lifeline flying by and the son's not being home coincided. And we simply went to where the action was. To find that two of our sons were no longer living. That evening, as our fellow ministry came, what I needed was simply a shoulder to cry. So I believe in our circles today we are doing a lot better than we did years ago, and that stigma of tears. But we need to express it and release it and let it go. My grandmother, and I was told this later in life, or after our experience, my grandmother would have lost a daughter, like an 17, 18-year-old, I think, to drowning. And when she went to bed at night, she would stuff a rag in her mouth so that the family would not hear her cry. If only she would have been willing to express it and find release. Tears are healing. They are a language that God understands, and they come at unexpected times. And so don't fear the expression of grief, that of tears. Tears mean that you have touched my heart, okay? If you are talking with somebody and then don't fear the fact that, oh, they might break down and they might cry and what am I to do? Well, that means that you have touched their heart. And it's a means of healing. So don't fear that. The second point is to receive help from others. Galatians 6:2 talks about bearing one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, and everyone is different, but we have found this, I have found this to be true, and others that we have related to have found it to be true as well. That there can be that temptation or that tendency to withdraw from others. And that is not good. You know, it's not really easy to meet people when you are dealing with grief. Our, the viewing of Darren and Devon was Sunday afternoon and Sunday morning, so what do you do with your family? Well, we go to church. Sunday mornings when we go to church. I remember coming towards church and it's like, oh, I'm not sure. Do I really want to go? But we went. And I believe it was good that we did. After the viewing, after the funeral, there was a day or two that I didn't, the shop was closed. I had to catch up on some paperwork and some banking, and I got the book work done at work, and I got the bank stuff ready, and I thought, oh, I'd just have some time to myself, and I went to the bank, and I'm not sure why, but if for some reason I went into the bank, and instead of going through the drive-thru, and what do you know, the teller mentions something about and acknowledges the fact that they are, you know, want to comfort me in my time of grief and loss. And I'm like, okay, so, well, this was in the daily newspaper. And so the article was in the newspaper. She apparently read it, and she knew my name, and she knew my face. And I was not expecting it when I went into the bank. And I was like, oh, you go shopping. You go to different places, and it's there. And so the tendency is to withdraw. But we dare not do that. We need to face people. We need to receive the help that others can give. And we need to be willing and humble to do that. There's physical help, there's emotional help, there's mental, there's spiritual help. The church body was very, they didn't know what to do. We were physically capable. What do you do? How do you help? Well, they brought meals. They helped in other ways. And we had to humble ourselves and accept that and allow ourselves to be ministered to. And you know, that's not always easy to do. But we need to learn that grace. We need to learn that grace. We like to help others. But if we're going to help others, somebody needs to receive. And so let's learn the grace of receiving help from others. You quickly realize that your presence changes the atmosphere. Okay? When we went places, the atmosphere, you could notice changed at times. And that can be the same way with those who are suffering from a terminal illness. It's not necessarily just in those who have lost loved ones. Let's be sensitive to that. Also, we had heard of someone who didn't open the sympathy cards because it was too painful. There were those who were pouring out to them, but they refused to open the cards because of the pain. You need to, like I said earlier, you need to experience the grief and let it go, release it. The third point is that of we need to avoid bitterness. Whether you are experiencing grief or you're helping someone through grieving, you need to be careful that bitterness does not set within your soul. You need to watch for others that bitterness does not set in. Ephesians 4:31 talks about bitterness, but I want to get the verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. And this is actually in the context of chastisement. I will eventually get there. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and therefore thereby many be defiled. Before that, it was talking about if you are a son, verse 10, for verily for a few days our fathers chastened us, verse 11, now the present be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. The experience, we don't need to necessarily see them or view them as the Lord chastening us. But it is the Lord in way trying to build our faith. And it's through those experiences. It's those, like the paper. It's those folds in our lives. They're painful, but it adds another fold, and it builds strength in our faith. You know, the thought of that of bitterness is a choice. We need to choose the fact that we will not allow ourselves to become bitter. Because the default will be the fact, will lead us to bitterness. The default is not necessarily bitterness, but it will lead us to bitterness. The tendency is to focus on the loss and the pain, and it turns that self-focus then will lead to bitterness. You tend to focus on the loss whenever we have losses. And we need to learn to refocus and to focus on what we still have. Revelation 3:2 says that we are to strengthen those things that remain. And now, I know that's not in the context of grief. It's more in the context of our faith. But if our focus is on the evil, are we going to build our faith? Okay? Our focus needs to be on what we have. My wife's aunt and uncle had lost a son to an automobile accident. And they had told, they decided that Christmas that they weren't going to do the traditional Christmas that they did. And her cousin in a letter shared that and how painful that was to the children that they still had. You see, if you focus on what you have lost, you will probably lose more. And it may come to the point where you lose it all. The fourth point is that you need to see the real value of life. And I had mentioned one of the evenings that man was created in God's image. Genesis 1:27, God decided that he would make man in his image, in his likeness. Genesis 2:7, after God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, what did he do? He breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so we have the eternal value within each individual. And God values each soul. John 3:16, for God so loved people. Okay, it says the world. For God so loved people that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We also must realize that one day our soul will be required of God. And then what will we do? You see, the eternal value. And so that if the ultimate goal is heaven, did we gain or did we lose? Okay, we lost here on this earth, but we feel that we have gained eternally. The fifth point is the fact that we must rely on Christ in times of tragedy, in times of grief. And the children's lesson, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. And you know, we take that verse and we claim it. But really, that verse is in the context of Paul says in the verse before that he suffers hunger. He knows how to abound. He knows how to suffer hunger. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Have I learned that? Am I willing to learn to be content in whatsoever state I find myself? I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, I had said earlier that we need to allow others to minister us to us. We dare not withdraw from others. We need to accept their help. But it is not only man alone is not able to fill the entirety of that need. We need Christ in difficult times, in times of grief. Galatians 6, verse 4 and 5. Earlier in Galatians, it said, the chapter 6, it said that we are to bear one another's burdens. But we also then find in verses 5 and 6, for every man shall bear his own burden. Oh, I think there was two verses there that I wanted. Verse 4. But let every man prove his own work, And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Okay, there are burdens that we can help others to bear. But there comes a point where there are burdens and there are things that you are called on the Lord to bear. And you must look to him for the strength to bear it. Because those around you are not given that lot in life. You are. And you need to, by faith in Christ, by leaning on his strength, make it through. God chose that Diane and I would go through the loss of two sons. At this point, God has not chosen us to go through a major health crisis, but God has chosen some to do that. And so we need to bear what God has given to us. You need to bear what God gives to you. And you need his help, his strength. Psalm 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. We have a God who is our refuge, one that we can turn to. Deuteronomy 33a talks about God being the underneath is the everlasting arms. And I trust if you have gone through difficult times that you felt those arms bearing you up, that you allowed him to do that. Isaiah 43, verses 1, 2, and the beginning of verse 3 talks about when you pass through the fire and when you pass through the water, the fire will not consume you and the water will not overflow you because the Lord is there to help you. And 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 talks about the God of comfort who comforteth our hearts so that we are able then to comfort others. Grief can have some very dark valleys. And I don't see how people in society make it through those valleys. And you know, there's many who don't. They are succumbed to substance abuse or other things. There is no room for self-pity, though. Are we allowing the Lord to bear us up in those difficult times? One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him, the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that at times along the path of his life, there were only one set of footprints. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that in the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love you and would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Are we allowing the Lord to bear us through times of trouble? We also must, the sixth point is the fact that we need to recognize God is sovereign. And our Stoic German background does well at that. But like I said, I believe there could be some help in actually dealing with the feelings, because that go along with experiences. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We don't always understand God's workings, and because his ways are so much higher than ours. Romans 11, 33 to 36. And I should be able to quote these. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And the verse, I believe, another verse that we all know, or many of us would know, is Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, we must recognize God as sovereign. But we still come up with the whys. Why, Lord? And we don't have those answers. Maybe sometimes we do. But we have the whys, the what ifs, and the if onlys. We dare not dwell on the whys, the what ifs, and if onlys, because if we do, we will lose our way. But we must trust in the sovereign hand of God. We can ask those questions, but they dare not be our focus. And you know, God as supreme is never required to answer our whys. That fall, after Darren and Devon's passing, the neighboring church, just really close to the shop where I work, was having revivals, and the man living that I rent a shop from was lived right next there, and he worked for me, and their evangelist came over one day during the day, and just to acknowledge my grief and to comfort And he made the comment that, you know, in heaven, we will understand why. And, you know, I was a man, you know, I was ordained in 2001. Been walking with the Lord for years before that. Darren and Devon's death was 2007. So I knew, I understood, but it was getting the whole mind and everything to do what I knew, okay? Because grief can be very difficult. And I pondered these things. And when he said that, you know, it was like, you know, when I'm in the presence of Jesus Christ, the one who died for my salvation, does it really matter what happened here on earth? Yes, we, in our earthly minds, we would like to know the results or all that happened because of this. But you know, if we really think about it, when we are face to face with Jesus Christ, does it really matter? Does it really matter? You know, when life is good, we marvel at God's orchestrating in our lives. In 2006, our family, I had this dream of taking the family west. My wife and I went to the West Coast on our wedding trip, and I'm not sure when I mentioned something to Diane about it, going west, and I wasn't sure that it was going to happen. But as we come to the end of 2006, beginning of 2007, it looked like things were, you know, things were all falling in place, that we would be able to do that. And, you know, I seen it as the hand of God allowing our family to go. But, you know, when hard times are hard and things are painful and we're experiencing grief, can we trust in the mighty hand of God that he is orchestrating things according to his will? You see, the same hand that allowed Darren and Devon to die in that car accident could have very easily spared them. You see, just a matter of a split second, when the yaw started, yeah, that's when the vehicle starts turning. Just in a matter of a split second, they would have been beyond the pole and would not have hit it. And so the timing had to be exactly right for them to hit the pole as they did. As we consider the sovereign hand of God, we need to accept his will and surrender to God Almighty. And you know, I struggled with the whole accident and what took place and why my son was so careless, and I all these thoughts were just pounding through my head. From the time of the accident and it, you know, you're just baffled, okay? And I very quickly came to the realization that if I'm going to make it through, I need to accept what God has allowed. And so I very consciously, in speaking with the Lord, acknowledged my acceptance of that before the funeral even. Take away the pain? No. Did that take away the grief? No. But it cleared me that I could receive the help that he could give so that I could heal. Many times we say that time heals. Time distances us from the situation. It is God who heals. And as we distance from the situation, the memories and the pain dissipates. But if you want healing, you need to seek the face of the Lord. And it doesn't matter what difficulties or trials that you are going through. It may be ever so great, or it may be ever so insignificant. But the principles here are the same, and we need to apply them. I pled with the Lord. Lord, my heart feels like it's been ripped open, and the pain is almost more than I feel that I can bear. And the Lord said, "That's okay. You can live with pain. I'll help you to bear it." It wasn't the answer that I wanted, because it hurt so deeply. But I have learned that there is joy, there is peace that comes as we surrender to what a God allows in our lives. And the things that he wants us to change, that we need to change. In acceptance lieth peace. O my heart, be still. Let thy restless worry cease and accept his will. Though this test be not thy choice, it is his, therefore rejoice. In his plan there cannot be aught to make thee sad. If this is his choice for thee, take it and be glad. Make from it some lovely thing to the honor of thy king. Cease from sighings and murmuring. Sing his loving grace. This thing means thy furthering to a wealthy place. From thy fears he'll give release. In acceptance lieth peace. I have found that to be true. Isn't it interesting, the message that came to the shepherds? Was it not peace on earth, goodwill toward men? What did God the Father feel when Christ was born? We don't know. But there was that separation. There was the fact of knowing that his son, now born to this world, was going to be rejected by his own people, the Jews. He was going to suffer. He was going to die on a Roman cross. Yet the message, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And so, I'm not sure what all you might be facing. And I don't anticipate you facing things that we have faced. But take these principles to heart apply them, because they are good not only for situations of grief, but for all of life. And you never know. We did not know that morning what we would be facing that evening when Darren and Devon passed. And so we never know. So take these, the fact that we know these things does not take the pain and the hurt away, but it helps us to work ourselves through the situations that God allows. So just briefly go back over the points. I'll start with God is sovereign. We need to express and release the grief, feel it and release it. If we don't, we will bottle it up. We need to receive help from others. If we don't, we will become closed to others. We need to focus on what we have. If we don't, we will focus on our loss and become bitter. We need to see the real value of a living soul. If we don't, we will say, what purpose is there of life? We need to rely on Christ, or we will wallow in self-pity. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He maketh no mistake. My Father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul I'm glad to know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But still I'll trust my God to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he maketh not one mistake. Shall we bow our heads for prayer?